5266 or go online to kboof.fm/donate and become a member or up your membership.
And you know, one of the best held secrets is, you know, during membership drive, we have some of the very best programming ever. So stay tuned, people, because you're gonna get some of our best, and that's because people step up their game for membership drive, because we know that we have great listeners.
And I want to just say, actually, you can go to kboo.fm, and then there's like a big banner there. You can just click on that. You don't have to worry about any other suffixes or whatever.
Darn
just
suffixes.
You can just kboo.fm. It's so simple. Just join us.
Fall membership drive. Click there.
877-500-5266. Where else can you get this kind of diversity? Where else can two anarchist feminists interview a Republican and everyone comes along just happy
and
as
no one
clams?
Dies or anything.
It's a beautiful world in which we share information and strengthen community through diversity. It's brilliant, and you need to be a part. 877-500-5266. And now onwards for the rest of the incomparable Radio Zine on KBOO Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up, it is Democracy in Motion. Ari Berman is Lisa Loving's guest. He's the author of Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America.
KBOO would like to thank the restaurants that donated food for our volunteers today. Overlook Family Restaurants for providing breakfast, located at 1332 North Skidmore, serving Greek and American cuisine featuring a lounge with a fireplace. Kell's Irish Pub for providing lunch, located at 112 Southwest 2nd. Kell's is family owned and operated and has been serving the Northwest since 1930. Kell's' newest location on Northwest 21st features 5 microbrews and is near the Timbers and Thorns matches. Marrakesh Moroccan Restaurant for providing dinner, located at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue, featuring fixed price meals as well as an a la carte menu served on pillowed low banquettes plus regular belly dancing.
It's 9:03 a.m. and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Democracy in Motion. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and today it's a fall membership drive special. We're speaking with the Nation investigative fellow, Ari Berman, on his book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. Ari, thank you for being on the line with us.
Hey, Lisa, thanks for having me.
This is an amazing book because, Ari, I mean, I know that America, the United States, we're all about the ballot, but we don't really, we sort of don't like voting. We don't really talk about it. We don't really make it the most important thing. We care a lot more about bombing, you know, other countries. We're all about these other things. And this is a narrative history of the Voting Rights Act. Listeners, we're going to give you this book later. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But Ari is also the author of Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics. Ari, there, you know, Black Lives Matter, marriage equality, transgendered rights, there's civil rights issues busting out all over the place right now. But again, the ballot, there are things that are happening with that. Can you talk about your column in thenation.com from yesterday about restoring the Voting Rights Act? What's going on with that?
Sure. So we can start with the present and I imagine then go back through the history. But in 2013, the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act. And what they said is that those states with the longest history of voting discrimination no longer had to approve their voting changes with the federal government. And that essentially took away the most powerful tool the federal government had to try to stop voting discriminations in the places where that discrimination was historically most prevalent before it actually occurred. And so there have been efforts in Congress to try to restore the Voting Rights Act. It hasn't really gone anywhere, but there has been a very strong bill that was introduced last June on the second anniversary of that Shelby County decision by congressional Democrats. And Lisa Murkowski, a Republican senator from Alaska, just became the first Republican senator to sign on to this effort. And that's, I think, important because now the bill is bipartisan. You can't just say it's a Democratic effort. Murkowski, while a more of a moderate Republican, is certainly quite conservative on many issues, so she's not a flaming liberal. But I think it's also a sad commentary that it took so long for a Republican to sign on to this bill. We had a situation where the Voting Rights Act was reauthorized by the Congress as recently as 2006, and the vote was 390-33 in the House and 98-0 in the Senate. And nowadays, it's a big deal when one Republican signs on to restoring the Voting Rights Act when just 9 years ago, every Republican was for it. And so, I mean, I think that's a commentary on where we're at with voting today. It's just so difficult to try to build support for things like the Voting Rights Act that were in place for so many years.
You know, but I remember some few years ago, and I feel as if I'm an okay educated, okay aware person, reading that the Voting Rights Act was up for reauthorization. I was like, wait a minute, what do you mean act? I thought this was the law. Isn't it in the Constitution? What, Ari, just what is the Voting Rights Act and why do we have to keep voting on it? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
So the history really goes back to, you can say it goes back to the founding of the Republic, but it really goes back to the Civil War and the fact that we passed three amendments to the Constitution to try to enforce the promise of equality that resulted from the Civil War. And the most important was the 15th Amendment of 1870, which said that the right to vote shall not be abridged or denied on the basis of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. And for about 10 years during Reconstruction, we aggressively enforced the 15th Amendment. There were federal troops sent to the South. They registered black voters. We had black senators and governors in states like Mississippi and Louisiana, something that's never happened since. But after the disputed election of 1876, federal officials pulled out of the South. Reconstruction came to an end, and we started to see things like poll taxes and literacy tests and property requirements in places like Alabama and Mississippi and all across the South, backed up by wide-scale violence and fraud during the Jim Crow era. And so the Voting Rights Act was meant to end this situation essentially by enforcing the 15th Amendment. It was sad that we passed the 15th Amendment and then the courts, the Congress, the states declined to enforce it and actually aggressively thwarted it. So the Voting Rights Act was meant to enforce the 15th Amendment by abolishing literacy tests and poll taxes, by sending federal officials to the South to register black voters, by ensuring that those newly registered voters would actually be able to be elected, to have real representation, which was a fight that occurred over decades since the 1960s, and then to say to those states with the worst histories of voting discrimination that they were going to have to approve their voting changes with the federal government to make sure that the Voting Rights Act didn't suffer the same fate as Reconstruction, where it would be enforced for a few years and then violently disregarded, that the Voting Rights Act was going to remain something that stayed in place. But as you mentioned, key parts of the Voting Rights Act, particularly the idea that states had to receive approval for their voting changes, that had to be reauthorized by the Congress. And that's why there's been these continuing fights over the Voting Rights Act, because every time the act's been reauthorized, and it's been reauthorized on four times, in 1970, 1975, 1982, and 2006, there's always been a huge fight, and there's always been very aggressive attempts to try to gut the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. Those have largely failed until the Supreme Court actually did gut the Voting Rights Act in 2013. They did what the Congress was unwilling to do.
And there we are, there at the Supreme Court. And I need to jump in here and say, this is KBOO Community Radio. Okay. And this is our fabulous fall membership drive. I love this time of the year. I have wonderful friends in the Palace of Pledge. It looks like Becky. Who else is there? And Mike Crenshaw, our station co-manager. We are joined by Giants. You two, talk a little bit about giving away copies of this book for a membership gift.
Yeah, we have five copies of Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. It's a fantastic book, and you're hearing about it right now. I believe that would be, what is the amount? I can't math right now. I apologize.
As far as the amount of the pledge that we would give those books away?
Yeah, $11 billion a month.
Well, I think we're gonna encourage people to give monthly donations, and then Kathleen is actually gonna find out the exact number that book will be a gift for, because we don't want to mislead folks. So any minute here, we're gonna be able to let you know exactly the amount you'll be able to pledge to get a copy of that book.
Yeah.
But part of what we're doing is we're encouraging you all listeners to up the amount that you already are giving us, because we want to encourage more people to get on the sustainability train. Sustainability. So we want more people to just dole out a little bit of money every month. And you can do that by giving us a call, 877-500-5266. Call our super cool volunteers in the super cool volunteer room and give them some of your credit card information or your debit card information, so that we can just get a spoonful of your beautiful assets every month. And that's the way we really like to do it. I also love encouraging people to come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th. Come in person. Look at how people volunteer in here. Become a member and consider volunteering. I mean, that is such a rare thing that our doors are open like that. But anyway, let's get just a little bit more information about how some of that works from Becky and Mike.
So I want to thank Jinx, who renewed from Southeast Portland, and I want to thank Helen from Gresham. And indeed, we are at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, right off of 8th and Burnside, on the inner east side of Portland. So if you're out and about today, you know, you can stop in, you can see us, you can meet the volunteers, and your contribution will go a long way. We want to encourage people to give a little bit out of their checking accounts or from their credit cards each month. That's the most stable way to sustain KBOO. It's from that monthly withdrawal, the electronic funds transfer, and it helps us pay our staff. It helps us stay in our budget. This year we got a budget of $817,129. Mm-hmm. That comes down to about $2,238 a day.
We are a bargain. Yeah. We're a bargain.
For the kind of thought-provoking radio you hear on KBOO, of course.
Right on. So one more time, let's let people know how they can share their beautiful assets with us.
Come
on,
call
us.
Or call.
Yeah, 877-500-5266.
Or kboo.fm/give.
Awesome sauce, 877-500-5266. And we're going to come back to Ari Berman and dig into this issue of the ballot. I just started this show this year, this show Democracy in Motion, because I don't think that especially alternative communities, spend enough time appreciating the value of the ballot and what people have sacrificed to make it available to people. So Ari, you had just gotten to the point where you talked about the Supreme Court basically having a huge impact on the Voting Rights Act, and I think it was 2006. So talk about that. Let's pick up that thread. What's going on with how the Supreme Court is impacting this issue?
Well, it's had a very big impact because not only did the Supreme Court gut the Voting Rights Act, but there's been a much broader attempt to try to restrict voting rights, not in Oregon, which has been one of the progressive states on this issue. But if you look broadly from 2011 to 2015, there have been 468 new voting restrictions introduced in 49 states. So this debate has taken place all across the country. And 21 states have new voting restrictions in place since 2010. So while some states, like Oregon, are trying to make it easier to vote by adopting things like automatic voter registration, many states are trying to make it harder to vote by shutting down voter registration drives and cutting early voting and requiring strict voter ID to cast a ballot and purging the voting rolls. And what's happened is that movement to restrict access to the ballot has accelerated after the Supreme Court's decision. You look at Texas, for example. In Texas, that state's strict voter ID law, which was blocked under the Voting Rights Act, was allowed to go into effect after the Supreme Court's decision, and many people were turned away in 2014. A month after the Supreme Court's decision, North Carolina, for example, passed this sweeping rewrite of its election laws that essentially repealed or curtailed every voting reform in that state that encouraged people to vote. And so those were just two examples of the kind of thing that's happened since the Supreme Court's decision. It's harder to stop these new efforts to make it harder to vote now. There's fewer protections, and people are worried that the Supreme Court, if one of these cases goes up, may try to gut the Voting Rights Act even further. And so it's unfortunate because for many, many years we had a Congress that enforced the Voting Rights Act, that protected voting rights, and we had a Supreme Court that consistently upheld the constitutionality of the Voting Rights Act. And now we have a very different situation where the courts are hostile to voting rights, the Congress won't do anything about it, and all these states across the country are making it harder to vote, all of which is very unfortunate.
This is interesting to me, too, because a few months ago, I believe it was in July, our guest on this show was the first Latino district attorney in the history of Oregon, this young man who was just elected this year to office. And we talked about this issue of, you know, in Oregon, we have some victories. Of course, at KABU, we broadcast in Washington State, too, and all over the country using the internet. But what he talked about, the issue there is then that means that our constitutional protections don't affect everyone, that where you live affects how you're affected, you know, affects your life that way. How the law impacts you depends on where you live. And so, Ari, this is a narrative history that you've written with Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. Talk about some of the people that you've interviewed for this book, some of the voices in your book. What do they have to say, and who are they?
Well, one of the main characters in my book is Congressman John Lewis, who a huge activist in the civil rights movement, who nearly died fighting for voting rights and marching from Selma, Alabama, attempting to march from Selma to Montgomery, and was brutally beaten on Bloody Sunday and kind of became the main spokesperson for the voting rights movement. And John Lewis has been such a pivotal figure in that fight for a 50-year period, from someone who was active in the civil rights movement, a leader of the civil rights movement, to then someone who was elected to represent Martin Luther King's hometown district in Atlanta in the 1980s, to remaining one of the leaders and speaking out of this issue today. And he actually just wrote a really incredible review of the book in the Washington Post that I'd urge people to check out.
Yeah. The thing also, because I read that review that he wrote that was in the Washington Post, is it's such a big deal to have all that on the shoulders of one person. Do you know what I'm saying? Julian Bond just passed away. We've been watching as some of the real champions of the ballot, specifically some of our connections to these past generations that help us understand why it's important, are passing away. I mean, talk about that a little bit too. John Lewis's heart must be breaking. He didn't say that in that article, but how is it that we don't have more leadership that's really championing this issue?
Well, I mean, I think that Lewis, in my interviews with him, definitely feels like he's living his life all over again, that he's fighting battles that he thought he had won. And he's facing a much more hostile Supreme Court, a much more hostile Congress. When Lewis was a young civil rights activist, they appealed to the Congress, they appealed to the courts, they appealed to the federal government for protection, to do something about the injustices that African Americans were facing all across the country, particularly in the segregated South. And now, after achieving so much progress, after winning the Voting Rights Act and seeing the first Black president elected, now he's seeing a whole new effort to try to restrict voting rights, to try to roll back the amazing progress that he and so many people fought for. And I think, you know, one of the things that happened is many of these people, as you mentioned, are dying out and getting old. There's not that many John Lewis's who are still engaged in the struggle. There has to be a new generation of people who are taking up this fight, which we are seeing in states like North Carolina, where there are new movements fighting for voting rights, like the Moral Monday movement. But also, I think many people became complacent. I mean, many people took the Voting Rights Act and related civil rights acts for granted. And it's only now, when there's this new effort to restrict voting rights, and when civil rights are in the news more broadly, whether through Black Lives Matter or for other reasons, people realize that these fights are far from over, and that people need to get engaged in this new effort.
All right, Ari. And we are going to take a moment one more time to encourage people who are our listeners to get involved in this radio station, to get involved in protecting civil rights through investing in the institutions that keep you informed. We've been speaking until the top of the hour. We're going to continue to speak with Ari Berman on his book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. You can get a copy of that book by joining KBOO as a member right now. And my friends, Mike and Becky, can tell you how.
Yes, for just $60, a minimum pledge of $60, you're going to be able to get a copy of that book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And, you know, it's important because this is the modern struggle, but I'm always reflecting on the fact that we're in a continuum. And like our guest is talking about, these things have happened before. A lot of the people who historically fought for rights are seeing a lot of the same conditions, the same responses, and the same tactics. From the system, from the government, from people who are opposed to everybody's rights and liberty. So one way that you can participate in the struggle for people's freedom, justice, their human rights and liberty is to do that locally. If you are here in Portland, you can become a member of KBOO. Mm-hmm. Even if you're somewhere else, you can become a member of KBOO. We're taking calls at 877-500-5266.
That's right. And you can go online at kboo.fm/give. That's just about a $5 a month donation.
That is so nothing. It's like you can't even go get a beer at a nice restaurant for $5. Mm-mm. Come on, people. Just pledge that much money. Give us that much money a month. It really makes a huge difference, like ripples in a pond. And come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland. But, you know, we love the people who are listening from Estacada, the people in White Salmon. There's people in Corvallis. I bet there's somebody in an atelier, you know, maybe doing some kind of pottery right now. And you're listening in White Salmon, Washington, and you're listening right now. It's your contribution, a spoonful of your gorgeous assets. And we put them all together and we create a tidal wave of change. And you know that's how it's happened. Mm-hmm. We are talking about this interview with Ari Berman, his book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. Now, I mean, did you hear about that book somewhere else? I'm not sure if you have or not. 877-500-5266. Support the media outlet that helps bring you the information that you really rely on. And Ari is with The Nation magazine. Again, a legacy media organization that helps you understand your actual place in our society. So seriously, people, we need to make the phone rings. 877-500-5266. You know, I wanted to ask Mike and Becky about some of the other things when you make a contribution to KBOO. What else happens with that investment that you make?
Well, you're helping us to sustain our operations in a very meaningful way. It takes about $93 an hour, we would say, to power and run the station. We have a few staff. Mike and I are some of them, but most of this is powered by volunteers. And so your contributions help to keep us on the air, keep volunteers, and to keep people who are passionate about the issues about music and culture on the air in a way that, that makes sense, that is something that has sustained Portland throughout many, many years.
The whole region, Cascadia, mm-hmm. It's not just Portland, it's about the entire bioregion, seriously.
Indeed it is. And with this kind of sustained voting attack, like on the Voting Rights Act, we need sustained efforts to keep information flowing, and you can do so by calling 877-500-5266.
That's or you KBOO. Can go. That's right. You can go to kboo.fm/donate if you're online. And again, it's another beautiful day. Mm-hmm. We've got the end of the summer. We're going into fall, but it's nice outside. I know a lot of you people are around. You're in the neighborhood, 20 Southeast 8th. That's where we're at. We love to see people come on down, get acquainted with us. And people do it all the time. So I want to encourage you to do that.
Yeah. If you're in Salem, say hi. Give us a call.
The other thing I want to let you know is when you do give us a call, 877-500-5266. For just a $60 pledge, we give you a copy of this amazing book by Ari Berman, Give Us the Ballot, which, by the way, that's just the kind of book that your one uncle would really like, or maybe your dad, who is the constitutional historian. My dad would have loved that book. Read it in the bathtub. You know you can't read your Kindle in the bathtub. I'm putting that out. You call us. You make an investment. You get a copy of that book, and then you send in your money. Check this out. Your money goes towards training programs mm-hmm. for citizen journalists that have impacted probably more than 1,000 people, right? People come to KBOO, they learn how to do their own media. I'm a volunteer. Sam, who's running the soundboard, is a volunteer. These are job skills. They're social change skills. And that's where your money goes to, not glass and fern. So just wanted to say 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th. And we're back with Ari Berman. Ari, you know, as I was reading, and we're talking about Ari's book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. Ari, I feel as if today it's 9/11, right? When those planes went into those towers in New York, I felt, and a lot of people felt, that it was the end of something big. It was the end of an era. Another thing that was the same way for me personally was when, in my opinion, George W. Bush stole the 2000 elections. I feel that these two events actually really shaped my life today as I walk down the street. Can you talk a little bit, and I know you've written some, about what happened with those elections in 2000, and how are we still dealing with that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pivotal moment for me too. I mean, my freshman year in college was Florida 2000. So, I mean, I thought I kind of had an understanding of how American politics worked, but clearly I didn't, and that was a very eye-opening experience. And then as a journalist, I was able to go back and look at it more closely, particularly in the context of voting rights. And what happened in Florida in 2000 was that there was a massive voter purge in the run-up to the 2000 election, and the state claimed that thousands of felons were illegally on the voting rolls. Florida was one of those states where ex-felons couldn't vote, and they needed to be purged before the election. The problem was that this purge list was quite inaccurate, that people were labeled as felons, even if, for example, race, sex, middle names, last names didn't perfectly match in the voter registration databases. But also it was discriminatory in nature, that African Americans made up 11% of registered voters in Florida, but 44% of those on the purge list. And so many people were turned away from the polling place in 2000 in Florida because they were wrongly labeled as felons. These were disproportionately African-American voters. After the election, when a new analysis was done and the NAACP sued Florida, it came out that 12,000 people were wrongly labeled as felons and potentially prevented from voting in the 2000 election in Florida. And that was 22 times George W. Bush's 537 vote margin of victory. So it's very possible to argue that that voter purge cost Al Gore the election. And it obviously was a pivotal turning point in America. If you look at the kind of policies that George W. Bush pursued, particularly just with regard to voting rights, the new Bush administration fixated investigated on voter fraud. We began to hear all this rhetoric about voter fraud during the second Bush administration. President Bush appointed two justices to the Supreme Court, John Roberts and Sam Alito, who would later gut the Voting Rights Act. And I think Republicans learned the unfortunate lesson from Florida in 2000 that small manipulations in the electoral process could make a very big difference. And so I think in many ways, the Florida 2000 election set a very chilling precedent for protecting voting rights.
Because the same thing, I feel, I would personally argue that potentially the same thing happened 4 years later. And part of those issues, we covered that stuff like a blanket here at KBOO Community Radio. I remember it like it was yesterday. I feel as if the Florida Secretary of State, who's typically the state official that governs elections, I feel as if that person was an open registered Republican. And maybe even that person had a role in the Republican presidential campaign in the state. But the other thing we were looking at was machines, the use of machines that didn't work right. We obsessed about that a lot. And also just the simple availability of machines in communities that had a whole lot of what we describe now as minority voters. All right, Can talk a little bit too about gerrymandering. Gerrymandering? Just a little bit of the details about how that happened, because I know there are people listening right now that would love to dig in and try to head off anything like that at the pass for the upcoming. We're already going to be electing another one. Oh my God, stop. Oh, but anyway, Ari, talk a little bit about those details so that people can have their memories revived a little bit.
Well, let me just go back to what you said about Ohio in 2004, because I think that was really pivotal. What we saw in Ohio was that there were far fewer voting machines at very urban, heavily minority precincts in places like Cleveland and Columbus, compared to very Republican, very white suburbs of those very cities. And what we saw were extremely long lines at these heavily Democratic, predominantly minority voting precincts. And so when you look at the 2004 election in Ohio, African Americans were forced to wait 52 minutes to vote, compared to an average of 18 minutes for whites. And in many places, like Cleveland and Columbus, the line stretched for many hours. And people estimated that hundreds of thousands of people left in that election without voting. And so you can see a simple, either you can call it a mistake or you can call it something that was intentionally done, but for whatever reason, however it occurred, one thing like that, simply not allowing places to have enough polling machines in a very tight election, you see that it could have a huge outcome on the eventual result. In terms of gerrymandering, I mean, I think it's a problem nationwide, and we have a situation where the districts are drawn in such a way not only to protect incumbents, but particularly if you look at the House of Representatives and so many state legislatures across the country, districts are being drawn in such a way that the people in them are older, whiter, and more rural and more conservative at a time that the country itself is becoming younger, more diverse, and more progressive and living more and more in urban areas. And so, and I think gerrymandering is one way in which our politics have become skewed and polarized, and why politicians don't really represent many of the people that live in those areas.
Mm. And if you just tuned in, I'm Lisa Loving. This is a pretty new show on KBOO. It's called Democracy in Motion. The point of this show is to look at elections and how they affect our communities, because I feel as if here in our progressive community here in Cascadia, we really don't talk enough about that. In fact, I'm remembering people in past years who said if elections changed anything, they'd be against the law. And then you stop and think of all the people who cannot even vote because of the law. Ari, in our local community, there have been new Jim Crow clubs that have popped up for like the past 3 or 4 years. People looking at this issue of criminal histories, incarceration, and how that impacts the ballot. You don't have any background to talk about that a little bit, do you?
Well, I mean, it's something that I looked at in my book. I mean, you look at felon disenfranchisement laws. I looked at Florida earlier. I talked about Florida earlier in 2000. I mean, the fact that ex-felons couldn't vote in that state was a remnant of the Jim Crow era. It was something that was passed in 1868 after the end of the Civil War to try to limit the ability of African Americans to vote who were more likely to be arrested, to have a felony previously than whites were. And so, I mean, I think it remains a major problem. The law varies state by state, but in some states, ex-felons just can't vote. In other states, they have to wait a very long period of time, and it's de facto disenfranchisement, or they can't vote when they're on parole, and that can last a very long time. So, I mean, I think it's a big issue, felon disenfranchisement. There something like 6.6 million people can't vote in this country because of felon disenfranchisement laws, and I think as there has been more attention on Black Lives Matter, that this issue of felon disenfranchisement has gotten more attention.
Okay. Yeah, The New Jim Crow, that's the book by Michelle Alexander. Just had to chime in at least for a few minutes about Black Lives Matter. I personally feel that thread in our social discourse uplifts the entire country, and even people that I know who consider themselves leftist or progressive or something like that, who don't feel comfortable with the Black Lives Matter movement, are not looking at what's going on with that with a bigger picture. We are speaking with Ari Berman. His book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. It's just brand new out. We're going to give you a copy of that book for a $60 pledge when we talk with our super fabulous friends in the Palace of Pledge in a few minutes. But Ari, here's another thing that always gets me about the voting rights thing. See, I'm not a Democrat, nor am I a Republican. And in our state, the Independent Party just this year was counted as a major party because so many people have abandoned the two major parties to go and be with the Independent Party. We tend not to hear as much about voter suppression, in my opinion, when a Democrat is winning or when a Democrat is in office. But do the Democrats have like a political take on this? I mean, am I just imagining that? Are the Democrats helping or are the Democrats hurting? Where is the discussion in the Democratic Party?
Well, I think they're largely helping. I mean, I think we're in an unfortunate situation where many Republicans are supporting efforts to make it harder to vote, and many Democrats are supporting efforts to make it easier to vote. You look at Oregon, for example, and automatic voter registration there. That was something that was
motor
championed.
Voter. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that was something that was championed by Democrats.
Yeah, our governor, Kate Brown, she actually passed that into law. I just have to say, pat her on the back on that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and you're seeing similar efforts in states like California. The California Senate just passed a law that's modeled after Oregon's automatic voter registration law. And I just looked at the debate, and every Democrat in the California Senate voted for it, and every Republican in the California Senate voted against it. And so this debate has become very politicized, in my opinion, far too politicized. If you look at the history of the Voting Rights Act, there had always been strong bipartisan support for the Voting Rights Act, for expanding voting rights. There were certainly always elements, particularly in the Southern Democratic coalition and then in the Republican Party, that wanted to gut the Voting Rights Act, that wanted to roll back voting rights, but they were largely unsuccessful. Unfortunately, those people, particularly in the Republican Party, who are more critical of the Voting Rights Act, they've become a lot more powerful. And the moderates who supported voting rights for so many years, they're becoming extinct. And so really you only have one party that's really pushing to expand voting rights, and that's the Democrats. So I'm not endorsing the Democratic Party. I'm not saying that they don't have a lot of flaws. But on the issue of voting rights, they've been much better than Republicans of late.
And the Republicans, basically, just to frame the argument that I've heard from that sector, basically they're saying, no, the risk for voter fraud is so significant that we can't allow ourselves to bring more people into the tent?
Well, that's what you hear all the time, is this rhetoric about voter fraud. And I don't know if it's a good faith argument or they're making these claims to build support for new voting restrictions, to make it harder to vote. I tend to think that the voter fraud thing has always been a manufactured crisis to mask another agenda. But I do think if you, for example, watch Fox News, I mean, they cover these allegations incessantly during the 2008 election, for example, all you heard about was Acorn and how Acorn was stealing the election for Barack Obama. And so I think, you know, many people in the conservative movement have convinced themselves that voter fraud is rampant, even though voter fraud is extremely rare in American elections, and particularly voter impersonation fraud, which voter ID laws, for example, are meant to stop. There have been only 30 credible cases of voter impersonation since 2000 out of 1 billion votes cast. This is just not a big problem in American elections, but nonetheless, we hear such a drumbeat about it that people have convinced themselves that this is true.
So you are listening to KBOO Portland. We are on the line with the Nation Investigative Fellow, Ari Berman, talking about his book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And we are going to talk a little bit with Becky and Mike about why this is important. You guys, I kind of, you know, I do this show, but I didn't know it was such a big issue. I'm sorry. I didn't. I'm honest with you.
This is a huge issue, though. I mean, it seems like since the Civil War that voting rights have been under attack. And that's an amazing long time for that to have happened. Even now, we are still sort of fighting against it.
877-500-5266. Go.
Oh, I was just going to say, I like what you said. You're not a Democrat or a Republican. Neither am I, you know. But I think participating in what we have, you mm-hmm. know, participating in our society to make it better is one of the ways that we cast the vote, whether or not we go to the ballot box or not. Mm-hmm. And community radio is a wonderful way to participate in what's happening around you in your community. 877-500-5266. If you want to participate in what's happening, if you want to be part of participatory democracy, I encourage you to become a member of KBOO.
That's right.
Hey, and also remember that this incredible book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America, frankly, written by one of the great minds, no offense, Ari, one of the great minds that we have doing investigative reporting here in the United States right now. Let's take a minute to brag about Ari Berman with The Nation. We don't have enough investigative reporters on the ground in the United States anymore. Some one-third of all reporters working at official outlets have lost their jobs over the past 10 years. Fact. And so when we've got someone like Ari Berman, who is working with The Nation, which is, again, a legacy organization that we've respected and have respected for years, this is a voice that's important. 877-500-5266. $60 pledge gives you his book. You get that book. That's only $5 a month. Again, you know, a spoonful of your beautiful assets. That's all that is. I don't even, you know, $5, you can hardly get a cup of coffee in this town for that much, right? We tend to brew the coffee at home anymore at my house because we're saving money. But, you know, saving money is about investing in what really matters. And this is one of those things. KBOO, The Nation, Ari Berman, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. This is a book that someone in your family is going to love this book for Christmas. And I tell you, I get the book, I read it, I pass it on. You don't have to, I'm not telling your mother that you read the book first, but that's how change happens in my actual family. It started with wheat bread, whatever, and now people are going gluten-free. But it's like you have an idea in your community, you make ripples, and that's how social change happens. So Monica and Mike, what else do people need to know about it? What else do you need to know about it?
I think that I'm really glad that you're back down here, Lisa. And I think that Democracy in Motion is a perfect name, because what we're talking about when we talk about people picking up the phone mm-hmm. and using their fingers to put a little bit of pressure to those buttons, 877-500-5266, when people get online at kboo.fm, or when people come down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, that's Democracy in Motion.
That's right.
It is. All right. And we want to thank all the people who have called. We're going to be here till the top of the hour talking about Ari Berman's book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. Ari, I'm being kind of disingenuous because actually I do know a little bit about voting rights. I do know a little bit about what a struggle it is. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you personally is what made you decide to invest your time and your mind in this particular project?
Well, so it started back in 2011 when I noticed that all these states were passing new voting restrictions after the 2010 election, when so many states flipped from blue to red, and we saw the rise of the Tea Party following Barack Obama's election. And so I noticed that all these new laws were being passed in places like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Florida and Ohio and Texas to try to make it harder to vote. Things like cutting early voting and shutting down voter registration drives and requiring strict voter ID. And I found this to be very alarming and something that no one was really covering in early 2011. And so I wrote a story about it first for Rolling Stone called The GOP War on Voting, which was really the first national magazine piece to look at this as a really an effort by the Republican Party to make it harder for people to vote, particularly voters that were more likely to vote Democratic. And then I thought I would write this piece and kind of go on to doing other things. But what happened is, new states passed new restrictions, laws were challenged in court, and this became a major fight in the 2012 election. And so I covered this for Rolling Stone and for The Nation all the way through the election. And then after the re-election of President Obama, when many of these efforts actually backfired, they either new voting restrictions were either blocked in court, or there were major mobilization efforts in places like Ohio and Florida to try to overcome them. But after Barack Obama's election, the Supreme Court heard the challenge to the Voting Rights Act, and I became very interested in the history of the Voting Rights Act, and I was asking people, what should I read to get up to speed on the history of voting rights? And I was quite surprised that no one had really written an accessible history of the Voting Rights Act, and I thought that this was really important to tell the story. Both because there was this whole new fight about voting rights, so it was very relevant in the current context. I also knew that we were coming up on the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, which we celebrated last August, so just a month ago. And then I knew that many people were getting old who had been active in the civil rights years, and it was so important to tell their stories before they passed away that we didn't know how long someone like Julian Bond would be around, and we don't know how long someone like John Lewis or Andrew Young or all these titanic figures in American history will be around. And so I really, really wanted to document that story and to tell the interplay of the past and the present, because so much of what we're seeing today in terms of efforts to make it harder to vote, in terms of new debates over civil rights, are things that really were very relevant in the 1960s and remain relevant today. So telling the story of what happened since 1965 was super important to me, because so many accounts of the civil rights movement ended with Selma in 1965 or ended with the death of Martin Luther King in 68. And I wanted to show that there was a lot of history that happened after that that was extremely relevant to what's going on today.
And Ari, as you have done this research and interviewed the old guard, I mean, we see it right now in a lot of different arenas in the United States. It's the end of the baby boom. It's the rise of generation. I'm not sure what letter we're up to. There is a changing of the guard in many different arenas, not least including journalism, but also in political leadership. As you're interviewing these older people about the history, is there anything that they had to tell you that really surprised you or shocked you that you didn't know?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, just like, hearing their stories and hearing just how difficult it was for them to be able to succeed. I mean, how many barriers they had to go through. I mean, you look at someone like John Lewis, who nearly died fighting for voting rights in Selma in 1965. I mean, he was thrown out of SNCC due to disagreements a year or two later. He was with Bobby Kennedy in 1968. When Martin Luther King was assassinated, and so he heard that news directly from Bobby Kennedy. He was with Bobby Kennedy in 1968 when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. So just to go through all this stuff in this period of time is kind of extraordinary. And then when he ran for Congress in the 1980s, he actually ran against Julian Bond, who was his best friend. And the reason why Bond and Lewis ran against each other was because Atlanta was one of the only seats in the 1980s where an African-American could be elected. And so there were so few opportunities, even decades after the passage of the Voting Rights Act, that these two friends were pitted against each other. And so, I mean, I think just the stories of, how long it took to try to democratize this country, how many barriers there were, how many lawsuits were were filed, how many political campaigns there were, how many organizing efforts, how many marches. I don't think people really understand just the depth of the struggle, not just the struggle that existed in 1965 that passed the Voting Rights Act, but all the struggles that existed in the decades after that to make the promise of the Voting Rights Act real. That was one of the most surprising things to me. And then obviously the resistance to civil rights, the resistance to these efforts. People think of it as, well, they know George Wallace, they know Bull Connor, they know these figures of the 1960s, but I don't think people realize that efforts to try to thwart the civil rights movement, to thwart the Voting Rights Act, these have been ongoing over a 50-year period, and it's not something that just ended in 1960 or just began today.
Mm. And we are speaking live on the phone with Ari Berman. His book, which just came out a couple weeks ago, is Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. He is an investigative fellow for The Nation. And I only regret that school just started because I know there's a whole bunch of educators, public school educators, who would be listening right now to this, because I know plenty of people that teach all kinds of different levels in the Portland public schools and our whole area that learn things from KBOO, read a great book, and then share it with their students. And we're with Becky and Mike, and the number to call, 877-500-5266. Becky and Mike.
Hey!
Yay!
What's happening? 877-500-5266. That's the number to call. KBOO is a resource, a community resource for you. The information you're going to get, like you're getting right now on Democracy in Motion, comes to you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, in the morning and in the afternoon. And you're only going to find it here on 90.7. You can go to kboo.fm if you're online anywhere on earth right now. Mm-hmm. And you want to become a member, you can go to the donate section. You know, you scroll down a couple of inches, you'll see a link for donate. Or you can come in. Somebody just came in. I want to say thank you to the gentleman that came in off the street to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Again, 877-500-5266.
That's my favorite when people come in person, because we get to actually meet you, right? Because normally we're sitting here, we're on kboo.fm. You can join there. Or, you know, we're on the air, we're talking, and we know there are people listening, but this is your chance to actually come in. I love that. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, KBOO is a totally participatory radio station. Everything about it is participatory. The people that make the radio, the folks that donate and make it happen, all of that is part of the community, the greater community, not just Portland, but all of Cascadia. And of course, across the US. The topic that we're talking about right now affects everybody in the United States. If you call 877-500-KBOO, then you'll be able to exert influence on the conversations that we're having about this topic, that we have more of an open say as a community on the wrongness of the attacks that are being levied against the Voting Rights Act.
And I think I also want to point out, you know, in a lot of the conversations I have, people talk about how people are apt to point out what's wrong with our society, what's wrong with our system. And people are hungry to hear solutions. People are hungry to hear the thoughts of the visionaries, those of us who are going to, you know, participate in creating something better, as opposed to just pointing out what's wrong with what we have. And KBOO is an opportunity. KBOO is a platform for people to participate in the process of creating a more just society. So when you become a member, you're contributing to the type of information that's going to arm us with the consciousness to help us act that out in our communities. 877-500-5266.
Actually, one of the things that gets me, what we're talking right now about ballot access, we're talking about elections, we're talking about people in the United States voting. Actually, I think this affects people all over the world. And there are people right now who are refugees running away from their homes in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan because of the war that we allowed to be started as a result of the actions of 9/11. Today is also the anniversary of 9/11. And if you are familiar with the history of KBOO, you know, I think that our institution, 877-500-5266, by the way, is the number to support us. Mm-hmm. I think that our institution is unique in the history of this town, and that part of the reason why Portland is what it is because of who we are and what we do, and also White Salmon, Washington. So when 9/11 happened, people just came here. People just came here because they knew they had to be with others of their kind. And when people started agitating for social change to try to take back the system in their communities, they called KABU so that we could get the word out on their actions in Salem, Corvallis, Estacada, White Salmon, all over the place, Vancouver. So we need people to invest in this kind of programming so that when something does happen, you'll have the infrastructure to get your word out. 877-500-5266. $60 pledge to get a copy of Ari Berman's book about the electoral process, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. You read that book, you're educating everyone around you, and that's what this is all about. Ripples in a pond, ripples in a pond. Becky and Mike, anything else?
Well, I can't imagine a world without KABU and not being able to hear different sides of the story and have this discourse. I mean, that's the primary importance of KABU, and being a member of KABU is being part of that discussion. If you'd like to be part of that discussion, call 877-500-5266.
And I just want to remind people that for $20 a month, in addition to your $60 pledge to get this book, Give Us the Ballot, for $20 a month, you can also have a hoodie to protect you in the coming cooling weather.
Winter is coming. I've got the KABU hoodie. I love it too. It's an investment. $20 a month, but it's worth it. And you know, put your heart on your sleeve. Do it. Why not?
877-500-5266.
KABU.fm/give.
And we're going to just bring it back again to Ari Berman. We've got 5 minutes left or so, Ari. So what Mike and Becky were talking about made me want to ask you, how have citizen activists impacted voting rights in the modern age? Is there someone that you interviewed that's doing something really compelling that you want to hold up as an example for what everyone should be doing?
Well, I mean, I think if you just look at, for example, the backlash to voting rights that we've seen very recently in states like North Carolina, that's led to a very large mobilization effort against that. And so you look at, for example, the North Carolina NAACP under the leadership of Reverend William Barber. They've been really dynamic in fighting against these restrictions and going down to the state legislature and getting arrested every week and doing nonviolent demonstrations to raise awareness about attacks on voting rights. And so, I mean, I think that's been a very compelling example of, you know, citizen pushback, of people getting really outraged and doing something about it and challenging their anger and frustration in a mobilized and productive way. I think there's also been examples of, you know, people trying to do focus on expanding voting rights. And so you look at, for example, the bus project in Oregon, for example, or related efforts like that, or all the groups that are pushing now for automatic voter registration or online voter registration. There's many people that are engaged in these efforts. It's not always a sexy story. It doesn't always get a lot of attention. But many, many people are now engaged in trying to expand voter participation and trying to expand the democratic process and make it so that more people can participate.
Mm. And you had written a little bit also about what the Democrats in Congress proposed in June and how that would affect this issue. Can you just bring us fully up to date? What's going on with that? Where is it at?
Sure. So the Voting Rights Advancement Act of 2015 has been introduced in the Congress. Lisa Murkowski just became the first Republican co-sponsor of that bill. Unfortunately, the Republican leadership in Congress is unwilling to hold a hearing on the legislation, unwilling to allow it to the floor for a vote. But nonetheless, people are pushing hard either for this Congress to do something about it or for future Congresses to do something about it. Because, I mean, I think as long as the Voting Rights Act is weakened, our democracy will be weakened and people will be turned away from the polls. So there really has to be some urgency on Congress to act. In the meantime, I think a lot of states are taking measures into their own hands, particularly states that have a more progressive governing majority. So states like Oregon, California, these places are starting to pass really expansive new reforms. And I have a lot of hope for automatic voter registration. I think that could be the kind of game-changing reform that can get a lot of new people involved in the process and then can be replicated in other states. And so I think there's some exciting things happening now that then I hope the momentum keeps building for them.
You know, the other piece of this, which is frustrating, and which we've talked about a little bit on this show, we're running out of show, is people running for office. You know, so if we can hammer out a super great electoral system, maybe we can figure out a way to recruit more better candidates. That's
sure,
a tough
one. I mean, I also think we have to talk about trying to limit the amount of money that's in the political system, because I mean, I think as long as, you know, it's so expensive to run for office, it's so expensive to win elected office, that you can raise unlimited contributions under the Citizens United decision, that's just going to limit voter participation. That's going to limit who is able to run for office and who's ultimately elected. And so I think when you talk about voting rights, you also have to talk about money in politics, because they're really two sides of the same coin.
Ari, I just really want to thank you for being with us this morning. I'm just going to just say thanks to Ari Berman, and more on his work at thenation.com. Thanks again, Ari.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And the book is Give Us the Ballot. Special thanks to engineer and super guy Sam Parrish. Friends, come on down to KBOO Town. We are at 20 Southeast 8th. Please come down, empty out your pockets onto the table, and don't forget to up your monthly support by giving us a call. We are at 877-500-5266. Join online, kboo.fm. And thanks for being radio active.
KBOO would like to thank the restaurants that donated food for our volunteers today. Overlook Family Restaurants for providing breakfast, located at 1332 North Skidmore, serving Greek and American cuisine featuring a lounge with a fireplace. Kell's Irish Pub for providing lunch, located at 112 Southwest 2nd. Kell's is family owned and operated and has been serving the Northwest since 1930. Kell's' newest location on Northwest 21st features 5 microbrews and is near the Timbers and Thorns matches. Marrakesh Moroccan Restaurant for providing dinner, located at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue, featuring fixed price meals as well as an a la carte menu served on pillowed low banquettes plus regular belly dancing.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Other September 11th, film screening and discussion about the lasting impacts of the U.S.-funded military coup in Chile on September 11th, 1973. The event will take place on Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in Portland. This film screening will include two 30-minute documentaries that focus on Mapuche land reclamation and language revitalization, as well as a discussion with the filmmaker about the specific laws that have been used to target the indigenous Mapuche people since the dictatorship began in 1973. Again, that's the Other September 11th on Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. at Fifth Avenue Cinema, 510 Southwest Hall Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. Stay tuned now at 10 o'clock for Air Cascadia, news, interviews, and commentary with your host, Chris Andre.